Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Wednesday, September 15th. It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. And it was reopening night last night on Broadway. The crowds and the creators were emotional and euphoric. Here is Kristen Chenoweth breaking the fourth wall and addressing the vaxxed and masked and standing o audience at Wicked.
Okay, so I have to say it as I hold onto the ladder. There's no place like home.
There's no place like home, said Kristen Chenoweth at Wicked. And all four top shows raised their curtains last night for the first time in 551 days. Wicked, Hamilton, The Lion King, and Chicago. Now, the reopening night audience at Hamilton was in for a surprise before the show, a welcome back speech by Lin-Manuel Miranda himself.
I don't ever want to take live theater for granted ever again, do you? Is so sacred, and this incredible company has been rehearsing. They've been rehearsing in their apartments. They've been rehearsing and keeping their bodies limber for a year and a half. And they had their first rehearsal for an audience on Sunday night, and they were missing something. They were missing the most important collaborator they have, and that's you.
And there it was, Lin-Manuel Miranda before the opening curtain of Hamilton last night. With us now, WNYC's Jennifer Venasco, we usually just call her Jay, who is covering the Great White Way. Hi, Jay. Thanks for doing the morning show thing with us.
Hey, good morning, Brian.
So what shows have you been to so far?
I've been on Broadway. I've been to Passover and Hadestown. I've also been to some off-Broadway stuff. I went to Merry Wives, some stuff, The Public, a really great play at Hunter College Theater by Richard Nelson, that kind of thing.
So did it feel safe?
You know, Broadway, when I was in the seats on Broadway, I felt very safe. At Hadestown, they had ushers in the aisle with very big signs. One woman was holding two signs that said, masks up. And they are as serious about mask wearing as they are about no cell phone. So, like, just like if you're in a darkened theater, somebody has their cell phone and an usher will sprint across the aisle and shut that phone down. I saw ushers, like, sprinting up the aisle and telling people, put your masks up. So that was great. I must say, at intermission, you know, the women's bathroom lines are always crazy. These are old historic theaters. That felt a little less safe to me. I think if you are somebody who's a camel and doesn't have to use the restroom during intermission, if your show is an intermission, that might be the best. I must say, like, in the line I was in, there was the very crushed line I was in, and then an opposite line going the other way where somebody else was crushed against me. That was a little worrisome. But, you know, they were doing all sorts of things to keep people safe.
So the crowds were supposed to wear masks, as you say, and they were supposed to show proof of vaccination. For kids under 12 who can't get vaccinated, they had to show a negative COVID test from the last few days. How was check-in?
Surprisingly fast and easy. Actually, I think it might have been easier and faster than I remember pre-COVID being. They've hired a lot more staff to do check-in, and it goes very smoothly. They do it earlier before they would really let people in at the last minute. They open the house earlier. They do check your ID. They check your vaccination card. They check your bag, and you might need to go through a metal detector, but it's very quick.
One thing we're not supposed to do in the time of COVID is yell a lot and project all those droplets when we're in places like full capacity enclosed spaces like theaters. Maybe it doesn't matter if everyone is masked and vaxxed. That's the hope. But was there any guidance about being, you know, vocally reserved as an audience member?
No, not at all. And in fact, of course, it's a theater and people are super excited. So there was top of the lungs cheering for sure during intermission and before the show. There's definitely people like calling all the way across the theater saying, "Hey, good to see you. How are you? Good to see you here." So, yeah, really, really nothing like that at all.
Jay in Bloomfield, you've been to two shows, I see.
Yes, we were lucky to attend Passover, which was the first show back since the pandemic. I have to say that I think the energy and the audience reaction just before the show started was just phenomenal. It was just contagious. It was like nothing I've ever experienced before. People were on their feet. People were screaming in joy. It was just kind of a visceral experience that I think I've never experienced before since I've attended shows over the years. So we were thrilled to be back. The second show I saw was Hadestown, and it was a very similar experience. People just super enthusiastic.
How safe or unsafe did you feel, or how much was that in the back of your mind as you were watching the show or afterwards?
Well, I think it's always a little bit in the back of my mind, but certainly I have no issue wearing a mask. I have no issue being around people who are wearing masks. And certainly just the thought that the requirement of having to come in with vaccination and there being some form of verification of that made me feel quite comfortable. So I think in general, I'm 6'4", so there's always a limited amount of space for me to sit mm-hmm. in some of the older theaters. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of discomfort maybe sitting next to somebody that I don't necessarily know very well, but or know their history. But certainly just the fact right. that we were all in there masked up.
Is good, and you're breathing on them more than they're breathing on you anyway if you're 6'4". So Jay, thank you very much for checking in. We really appreciate it. Call us again. And Noelia, am I saying your name right, or is it Noelia in Brooklyn? You're on WNYC.
Noelia.
Hi there.
Yes, Noel. Hi. I love your show. So thank you for taking my call. I went to see Passover also, and I went with a friend, and just like the other caller, it felt really, really safe. The line was not long at all. It moved really smoothly, and it was very, very emotional to be there after so long of not being in the theater. So it was great that everyone was vaccinated, so it felt safe. It was a great show. A wonderful experience.
Do you have plans already to go to another one?
Yes, I was looking on TDF to see what else is coming up that, you know, I may be able to afford. So, yeah, I just cannot wait.
Thank you. Thank you very much for checking in. Let's do one more in this first set. Mercedes in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mercedes.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. Where'd you go?
I went to see, I started with Springsteen, of course. Couldn't miss that. And then I went to see title of show outdoors at the Brooklyn Navy Yard. And I saw Mary Wives also, of course, outdoors at the Delacorte. And just a couple of weeks ago, I went to see Hadestown finally indoors. And I almost missed it because I thought I had tickets for the evening show. And at 2:10, I found out that they were actually for 3:00. So
oops.
I had to sprint to the from Forest Hills to 47th Street. That was quite a sprint. And I made it just in the nick of time because there's 4 different layers of check-ins when you get to the theater. First, they check your vaccine and ID. Then they check your bag. Then you go through the metal detectors. Then they check your ticket. And then I had to sprint upstairs to the balcony where I was sitting. And I just barely sat down, and suddenly the audience broke into applause. And I realized it wasn't for me. It was because the because the actors had come on stage. Andre the Shields had just walked in, and everybody broke into applause. But it felt a little bit, you know, it does still feel a little bit risky. You know, Broadway theaters, you're like crushed against one another in the
yes.
seats. So it's very crowded. And getting up and down from the balcony, it was like there was no social distancing going up and down those stairs. But you know, we have to try to get back to some kind of normal. I'm double vaccinated. I just got my booster yesterday. And, you know, it's just a way to get back to some kind of normal. And you have to weigh the risks.
Absolutely. Mercedes, thank you very much for your call. You know what? I'm going to add one more caller to this set because it's not every day we get a call from Montgomery, Alabama, but Greg in Montgomery is there. And hi, Greg, you were just in New York and you saw a show?
Yes, Brian. Hi, big fan. And I was in New York last week. I lived in New York for years, but I'm from Montgomery, and I'm now back at my job. But me and my friend were at Passover on Friday night, and she had never been to New York before from Berkeley. And so I got to be a tour guide for her, and we got to go to see Passover on Friday night, and it was a great show. For some reason, there was a big block of seats that were empty in the middle, so we actually got really good seats very close to the front. And it was a great evening in the theater, and it was just great to be back there. And the only thing I could say is that we missed our lift right after the play.
Should we consider you an example, and I hear you that you used to live here, but should we consider you an example and the people you brought of the tourism industry starting to return, that you came and you brought people from out of town to do New York via Broadway?
I would hope so. It was great to be back, and it had been 3 years since I'd been in New York, and I've only heard the fantasy stories of what life is like. And so it was fantastic to be there and feel like everything was almost normal except for all those box restaurants on the sidewalks.
Greg, thank you so much for checking in. We really appreciate your call. Come back and see us again. And we continue with our news and culture editor, Jay Vanasco. Jay, I'm sure you have so much to say after
so
that
much.
Set of calls.
Yeah, so one thing I wanted to say that it was so great to hear Greg from Alabama, of course. You know, there's been such a huge drop in tourism, and 2/3 of Broadway's audience do tend to be tourists, 15% international tourists usually, and of course we're really not getting any international travelers. And those numbers aren't expected to recover until 2024. So the theaters are really relying on local people in the metro area and really in the Northeast to come out and make up the difference. Charlotte Martin of the Broadway League has said that theaters need to reach 75% capacity in order to keep running. Because they're so expensive. Shows are really, really wildly expensive. And so it's really going to take, and it's hopeful, like as all the other callers were saying, I was probably in the house with them at Passover. The energy is just delirious, with people really doing standing ovations every time a new character is introduced. You know, a lot of set changes at the end of the show. It's just so, I think if you're a little on the fence about going, then just that wave of people, of happy people energy, really might make a really spectacular evening.
So on the economics, Greg from Montgomery noted that empty block of seats in the middle, so they were able to move down. Were these shows last night sold out, if you know? And how's attendance been generally, if you know, for the plays that have already been running?
So, as you probably know, usually the Broadway League releases figures every Monday about box office grosses. They're not releasing those this year. They've said stuff about, like, well, you know, plays are staggered, it's not the same. Also, there's reduced shows for a lot of shows. Not everybody is doing 8 shows a week. So we don't know. I do know that Waitress, that the night it opened, they did make an announcement that Waitress itself had broken all the previous Broadway records for single performance ticket sales. They made almost $200,000 in ticket sales. But besides that, when I was at Passover, I too saw empty seats. When I was at Hadestown, I didn't see a single one. And I'm sure that last night, I think the odds are very good that every seat was filled last night.
Yeah, last night they would have been sold out. All the people who wanted to be part of that history.
Exactly. It was hard to know if it will continue that way.
So there's the tourism being down still element that's important for Broadway, as you just pointed out. Also, I was thinking the U.S. Open tennis tournament that just ended in Queens reported around a 20% decline in audience, from what I read, for Arthur Ashe Stadium compared to 2019, the last year before the pandemic. And they also had the same rules, full capacity, but with a vaccine requirement to get in. And I imagine the decline must in part be a function of a percentage of the population who would otherwise go still not being confident in the safety of it. And maybe also since a quarter of people are still declining the vaccine, they're not eligible. So that's reflected maybe. So we'll see how any of these things go over time. I guess we'll find out if there's a notable rate of breakthrough infections too in the coming days from all this. And I guess there's no point in speculating. We'll just see.
I think that's right. I think there's really no way to know. I will say that so far, none of the Broadway shows that have opened have had a closed day because of COVID. Waitress did have an actor out in the ensemble for the first show. She was replaced by an understudy. Merry Wives of Windsor this summer had to cancel a few performances because of COVID. But for the most part, the theaters at least haven't been canceling performances for that reason. But I must say, so many of my friends are avid theater goers, and I'd say probably a good 30 to 40% of them feel like, I'm not quite ready. Let's see how Delta variant
is. Not quite yet. And Zoe in Long Island City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Zoe.
Hi. I'm thrilled to be here. Believe me, for all of us who work on Broadway, it's been a very long haul, as you can imagine. Everything was shut down. 90% of my business is from Broadway shows. I have an outside studio where I build properties. And also the weird costumes like you might see on SNL or 30 Rock, that kind of thing.
But Hamilton is my big show. Yeah, you get a credit in the Hamilton Playbill, right?
Yes, I am the final credit in those tiny credits in the back. And I'm one of three studios that works on the show. And this has been a great time the last few weeks because I work on every production around the world of Hamilton. So I've been getting reorders from all of the national tours because one of the things that I do are all of the documents. People don't realize, they say, what documents? Every single piece of paper, map, whatever that's in the show, I produce.
Huh.
And in fact, when I do a tour, I do 7,000 because I'm doing 6 months worth, you know, because I'm not going to do them every week. And there was just nothing, you know, during this whole time, and so the PUA, the pandemic unemployment, was the first time in 45 years in New York that I've qualified because I'm self-employed, and that helped pay for the studio because I got no break on my commercial rent and insurance. So even though I had no work, I had to pay that rent, which would have killed me. It would have totally put me under without the stimulus payment.
So that special category of unemployment insurance, the PUA, you would have never qualified before for because you're self-employed, you run your own business. But in this case, you did, and it kind of saved you during this hiatus, and now you can work again.
It absolutely did. Yeah, I've done one commercial in the last month, which was great, and I've been... Actually, yesterday I spent all day working on Hamilton Broadway because I had to replenish some of the documents, and I've sent out little batches of documents to all the tours that were short, you know, getting short on anything so they wouldn't run out. Send the orders in.
Thank you so much for checking in. All right. And folks, when you go to see Hamilton, look for that final credit in the tiny print at the bottom of the credits in the playbill, and you'll see the name Zoe, and you'll know it's Zoe in Long Island City who called our show. Here's Jenna in Guttenberg, New Jersey. Hi, Jenna. You're on WNYC.
Hi, good morning. Both my husband and I work in live performance in New York City. I'm a stage manager and event producer. He's a stagehand with Local One. And so when the shutdown happened, it was a pretty big deal for our family, and the unemployment assistance really carried us through. But now we're so excited that shows are starting back up, and he couldn't call in today because he's on a load-in at the Golden, so that's good news.
So what does that mean, a load-in, for people not in the biz? What's he doing, actually?
Sure. So this is the time when they're actually bringing in the set pieces, hanging the lights, focusing, making sure everything is ready in the grid overhead, and getting ready before the actors come into the theater for their tech rehearsals before opening.
That is great. Congratulations to both of you. You know, Jenna, some industries are having worker shortages, right? Not everybody wants to go back to restaurants, retail, correctional facilities. We'll see about teachers. Is the theater experiencing anything like that as far as you know, or do you know any former colleagues who declined to return?
There's certainly some colleagues who are concerned about the conditions in which they're going back to work. But I think as the vaccine, you know, continues to grow in the community and the vaccine mandates for people attending shows have happened, that's really encouraged folks to go back to work because they don't have to worry quite as much about their own personal safety. So I applaud that decision by the city.
Jenna, thank you for checking in. One more in this set, Elaine in Norwalk. You're on WNYC. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, good morning. I am a projection designer, and I designed the projections for Wicked on Broadway and all over the world, and was able to attend an invited dress on Sunday, but also went to Passover on Saturday. So I actually had a two-show weekend for the first time in an extraordinarily long time.
How did it feel?
Extremely emotional, and in listening to your previous two callers who also work in the business of live performance. They covered a lot of the things. I think one thing that my husband and I were talking about, we also both work in live entertainment and our careers fell off a cliff a year and a half ago, is that right now it feels like we're coming out of the bunker and seeing the post-apocalyptic world and seeing what theaters are still standing and what coworkers are still in the business. Mm-hmm. A lot of young people had to leave and give up their dream of working in live performance. A lot of people who were approaching retirement opted to go out at that point. So we could potentially, like you said, we have a worker shortage.
You think you do have a worker shortage?
We do. Essentially, there is a worker shortage because some people aren't returning, again, because they couldn't hang out and wait for it to restore. And they didn't have that kind of finances. Others chose to retire a little bit early. And then also people who, for their own reasons, don't want to return to work. There is a worker shortage, and I think there is a potential that it's going to affect our unions, which at a time where unions already are needing to fight to be relevant, and they are extremely relevant and important to an industry like ours, especially an industry where a lot of people are self-employed.
When you say it might affect the unions, it might not affect the ability to put on shows for the audience, but it might affect the unions in a particular way?
Well, in the sense that if we can't put together a union crew for a show, it's going to make it hard to argue that unions should still get hired. If we suffer a worker shortage.
And still should have jurisdiction. Elaine, thank you so much for your call. I really, really appreciate it. And Jennifer Venasco, WNYC and Gothamist Arts and Economics of Culture editor, you want to comment on some of the economics in that last call or any of those calls?
Yeah, I'm so glad. The callers brought up such great point, and some of them I want to follow up on. But I think that's right, that people think of theater and they often just think of what they actually see on the stage, the actors, maybe the musicians. But of course, it is a whole ecosystem. And as we heard, you know, there's tons of people who build props, who do sets, who make properties. And then there's all these people behind those people. So there's people who contribute, you know, specialized fabrics and sequins to the costume shops. When I did some reporting on costume shops earlier this year, I talked to one young woman who had a very specialized job. It took a long time to train her in that job. And she said that she was definitely leaving, that she was training to do something else. And she thought it might come back, but the pandemic made her feel like this kind of work was unsteady and she wanted to have something that was steadier. People have said that Broadway has lost at least 3,000 jobs during the pandemic. And I do think that it's so great that it's back and that people are getting work again. But even so, it's not necessarily going to make up for, you know, the 18 months of debt a lot of people and businesses find themselves in now.
And the stat that I've seen them cite, I guess it's coming from the Broadway League or a group like that, is that the shutdown of Broadway put 97,000 people out of work.
Right. I just have heard so many heartbreaking stories. You know, people who decided they had to go back to, you know, Iowa or wherever they're from and live with their parents, especially as one of the callers pointed out, young people. Now, at one point, I had a conversation with somebody and I said, you know, who are you worried about losing? Like, and they said, you know, it's not going to be, and I actually thought it was going to be older people for some reason. And I was told that I was completely wrong, that it was young people who, you know, came here to live their dream and maybe didn't have established careers yet and were living with a lot of roommates and just wouldn't, like, really just wouldn't be able to afford it and maybe couldn't make a strong enough argument to their parents when they were told, like, it's time, you just have to come home. You need to, like, come back, get a job, we'll take care of you and come
right.
home.
We're not paying your rent to live in New York and not work.
Exactly.
So as we wrap this up, folks, last night was an example, I think, of how society is trying to find ways to live with the virus rather than shut down over it. That's exactly what vaccines and masks are for and make possible. And if Broadway turns out to be safe, which the early indications are that it is, even without social distancing, even with full capacity, that'll be why. And it's amazing to me that the people who protested the shutdowns are now protesting the tools to make the shutdowns unnecessary during Delta, masks and vaccines to get together indoors in groups. But that's another show. Jennifer Venasco, WNYC Arts and Culture Editor, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.